Amen. Thank you, Mrs. Green. So it's good to be here this evening. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 6 with me. Matthew chapter 6. We have had a whirlwind of a trip down here. We left Friday morning out of Lansing, Michigan, drove 8 hours to Frederick, Maryland, somewhere around there, stayed the night there, and then drove the rest of the way. Yesterday, my boys are fighting a cold, so am I, but it's been a blessing. We had a good time last night at the adult Christmas party. Chocolates are almost gone. Beer mugs are still in the cake. Oh, no, it wasn't beer mugs. Mason jars with a handle. And who knew? Who knew that I liked those? And it was a blessing. Thank you for the gift. Thank you for all your hospitality, Pastor. It has been a blessing. Chinese food this afternoon, and getting to meet all you folks here, real hospitable, real friendly, real kind. It's been a blessing. Besides Brother Wesley, it's been all good. So he's guarding the back door so no one leaves. So appreciate his friendship there. So we're bosom right there, right off the bat there. And so someone asked me if the fire was going to come down tonight. I said I had 2 cups of coffee, so I'm ready to go. So I've got a good nap. And so it's a blessing to be able to preach here. I don't count it lightly. This is something the Lord has called me to do, called me into the ministry when I was in Bible college, got saved later on in life, grew up in a Christian home. My dad was an assistant pastor for 42 years. He passed away about almost 3 years ago, but my grandfather's right-hand man. And I grew up in church, grew up hearing many great men preach and herald the truth. And didn't get saved till a senior in Bible college. Didn't solidify it. Went through the motions, did all those things, made professions of faith, but didn't make it real until then. And then the Lord began to work on my life. I went back for my master's in Bible college and received that at West Coast Baptist College, and met my wife later on as we were teaching up in Saginaw, Michigan at Brother Willett's, and got married and pastored for 4 years, been an assistant for a couple years at my grandfather's church, and here I am tonight preaching for you guys in sunny North Carolina. So 60-some degrees. I was sweating today. I had the windows rolled down. You guys, I think I saw people with winter jackets on, and here we are in short sleeves putting on the suntan lotion. So it's been good. So Matthew chapter 6, and of course, if you know anything about the scriptures here, this is the greatest sermon ever preached. This is preached by the Lord Jesus Christ. We call it the Sermon on the Mount. It's 3 chapters long. Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. So where we're going to pick up here is right in the middle of his message, and some great truth here. The Lord has shown me some of this truth, taught me some of this. I'm still learning it. And that's why I keep on preaching this message. This is probably my wife's second time, third time hearing this message. But I know I need it. And the Lord keeps on bringing me back to this passage because I need to do it. It's a simple truth. I don't preach anything below a third grade level. No, I preach something basic for people. That's I enjoyed preaching to the teenagers or teaching to the teenagers this morning. I talked about King Hezekiah there in 2 Chronicles chapter 29, how he had to clean up after his daddy Ahaz there ruined the temple, and he took out the trash. That was my message there, and how we need to take out the trash in our life. That would be the sin, and cleanse ourselves there. And I think this will be a help to you this evening. So Matthew chapter 6, and let's jump in at verse number 19. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 19. And we'll start reading there in verse 19, Matthew 6. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And that we could take that to this Christmas season, how many people want to max out their credit cards and think that all these things, this is where where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Is your treasure in this church? Do you treasure the philosophy behind this Bible, the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ? And do you treasure souls out there that are lost and on their way to hell? And you can see the passion in the choir already. They treasure the music that they're singing and the presentation that they're going to present next week. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And we see here in verse 22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and cleave the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father needeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall ye eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I want to, my text verse this night, this evening is verse 33. Go back to that verse. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Let's pray, ask the Lord to bless this time. Dearly Father, Lord, thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to preach your word. Lord, I pray that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit, that you would give me direction, that you would give me clarity of thought. Lord, help me, Lord, as I preach. Lord, I need your power. I need your strength. Lord, I pray for these folks that they would open up their heart to the message this evening. Lord, I don't know what they may be going through right now, what heartache, whatever it may be. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would help them. Lord, I pray that you would bless this time. Lord, I'm so thankful for salvation, thankful for the opportunity to preach. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I've never really cared for know-it-alls. Anybody like know-it-alls? I mean, they just tell you everything. You try to show them something. Now, you're a teacher, right? Do you like know-it-alls in your classroom? You try to show them how to do something, and I already know how to do that. Well, you messed up on these 10 things here, and there was only 10 questions, and you messed up on all of them. Let me try to show you here. I've never cared for them. My wife and I, we taught at a Christian school, and teenagers tend to be know-it-alls. I don't know why you guys try to know everything, but it's just something that's built into their DNA. They're trying to be a man or a lady, trying to be that adult there, and they don't want to be told anything, okay? They know it all. And I never cared for that. I don't try to be a know-it-all. If I sound that way, then you can kick me, okay? I don't want to be that way. There's an old saying that goes like this: you're never too old to learn. And I want to keep on learning. I want to keep on growing. And that's what Peter said there in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to continue to grow. I don't know everything that the Bible has to say, and I'm pretty sure you don't know it either. We're continuing to grow in this knowledge there, grow closer to the Lord. Now, there's a lesson for you you're never too old to learn. The Bible says in Psalm 90, verse 12, it says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Teach us to number our days, to recognize how few they are. The Bible says, boast not thyself of the morrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Okay, we know that James tells us that life is as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Life is short. Someone has observed life that is like a dollar bill. You can spend it any way you want to, but you can only spend it once. Now, there's only one way to spend something. You can either do it a couple ways. You can waste it or you can invest it. Okay? We can waste it. I remember my, I have a couple nephews, and that was years ago. He had turned 8, and he turns, his birthday is right around Thanksgiving, and we go down there. My brother-in-law is a pastor in Jefferson City, Missouri, and we go down there for Thanksgiving every other year, and we went down there, and his birthday happened to land right there on Thanksgiving, or right around there, and so he was getting all these presents, and of course, presents to, and he's getting envelopes, and there's cash in these envelopes. And I said, Daniel, what do you want to do with your money? He said, I want to go to Walmart. I said, I'll tell you what, Daniel, if you give me that money, I'll invest it, and I'll give it back to you in 10 years when you're 18. It'll be doubled by then. Nope, I want to go to Walmart, okay? And of course, we went to Walmart, and I think he bought some Nerf guns or something. I don't know what he was into at that time, but he... Really, you look back and you could say, yeah, he wasted it. He enjoyed it, you know, and you can look back in your life there and you could say, man, here's this money that I had at this particular time. Where is it at? I wish I still had it. The Bible talks about money, there. Sometimes we put it in bags with holes in it and it kind of disappears there. But in our life there, it's like kind of like a dollar bill. Now, whether you're young or old, 6 or 60, 7 or 70, or however old you are, healthy, wealthy, puny or poor, you can make the rest of your life the best of your life. Now, how many of you would like to go back to when you were a child? I mean, you'd like to go back when you were 5 years old. How many would like to go back to being a teenager again? Really? I wouldn't like to do that. With all the knowledge that I have, I still wouldn't want to go back. Those were fun days, but I'm glad. I'm enjoying the time that God has put me, a particular time in my life there. Now, suppose that you were starting your life all over with all the experience that you had, and you were old enough to know all these things there. And if you could ask the Lord Jesus Christ how to make the rest of your life the best of your life, what do you think He would say? Suppose you could go back. Let's suppose that you can't go back. And here's what the Lord would say. I have a sneaky suspicion. Here's what He would say in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. And I want to show you here just three simple truths. Here what the Lord would say. Look what He says. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I think we could summarize it in this way, and this is the title of my message. First things first. Priorities. Priority number one here. Priority, His way. His righteousness. I know it sounds simple, but I tell you, this is something that if we would take this today, beginning today, consciously, continuously, constantly, consistently, put His things first, it would transform our lives. If you say, well, I've heard this before, I have to do it every single day. You know what? Sometimes I forget. Sometimes I get so busy, I forget to put first things first. Here's a three-step formula here to putting first things first. Number one, set proper priorities. Set proper priorities. Now, everything rises and falls right here. If your priorities are not in order, your life will not be in order. If your priorities are not right, you won't be right. You don't have to pray about what your number one priority in life is. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to discuss it. You don't have to look for it. You just have to do it because Jesus has already told us what our first priority is. Look what it says there in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. It's really plain and simple. But seek ye... That's us. That's all of us Christians. That's the disciples. That's who He's talking to. We are His followers, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. What's that word seek mean? Well, it means to actively pursue, to go after. I like watching football, sports, and the defense seeks after the guy who has the ball. And a lot of times it's the quarterback. And what do they want to do? They want to actively pursue him and drag him to the ground, break his leg, do whatever it takes to get him down and to tackle him, okay? This is what the Lord wants us to do. I want to seek after him, go after him. This word is in the present tense, okay? It means continually, okay? It means continuously. Every single day of my life, when I wake up, I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God. Now, in order to seek the kingdom, you must first seek the King. Who is the King of our life? Well, that would be the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to seek Him. The first priority of your life ought to be to seek the King of the kingdom. Do you know that the Christian life is more than just accepting the Lord as your Savior? It's to be actively seeking Him. The Lord is not just someone you passively accept. He is someone you actively seek. You know this? I can tell exactly, I can tell something. Your relationship to God at this very moment, I can tell how spiritual you are. I can tell you how much you have of God. You have all that you want to have. My grandfather says it this way, you're as close to God as you want to be. You really are. You know, with your hobbies, your work, whatever it may be, you know about those things. You know about that job, whatever it may be. You know about farming. You know about tractors. Or you know about whatever it may be. My boy Lincoln loves tractors. He could tell you all kinds of tractors, about John Deere tractors. And he'll tell you where to put red tractors at. Red tractors go in the shed, okay? If it's red, you put it in the shed, okay? And he likes that. And he actively is pursuing that. He's got magazines and he looks at them. We get books at the library. He's excited about that kind of stuff. See, in our Christian life, what excites you? Coming to church, does that excite you? Wanting to please your Savior, does that excite you? See, God doesn't have any favorites. But he does have this. I'm thankful that he has this. He has intimates. You can be close to God. James chapter 4 verse 8 says, it's a simple verse. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Amen. I want to get up close to the Lord. Are you close with him? Can you hear that small, still voice? Or is there something between you and the Savior? Is there some kind of sin that may be, some kind of distraction that may be in your life? I want to be intimate with Him. I want to have that loving relationship where I can come to Him and talk with Him and sup with Him and lay and snuggle up to the Lord there and just have an intimate time with God. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 13 says this, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Now see, it's not enough just to seek the Lord. You must seek Him first. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. First thing first means putting the Father first. There are three words I want you to look at here in verses 30, 32, and 33. I don't know if you're in the habit of underlining or circling. I have it circled and highlighted in my Bible. In verse 30, there's the word faith. He says this, O ye of little faith. In verse 32, he says, for your heavenly Father. I have that underlined. Father. Faith. Father. In verse 33, I have first. You see what he's saying? Faith in the Father first. Put faith in the Father first. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please God. Do you know what faith is? Faith is putting their trust in the Father first. Putting trust in the Lord 1% more than your doubts. Putting Christ first in your life. I want to have faith in Him. I want to trust in Him with all my heart and lean not to my own understandings. Let me tell you something. Jesus doesn't want a place in your life. Jesus doesn't even want a prominence in your life. Jesus doesn't even want preeminence in your life, Jesus wants preeminence in your life. He wants, that word preeminence means superior. He wants to be above all things. He wants to be number one. Jesus wants the first moments of every day. Jesus wants the first day of every week. Jesus wants the first part of every paycheck. He wants to be first. He must increase and I must decrease. The Lord Jesus Christ is not interested in being the first runner-up in the beauty contest. He's not interested in being vice president in your corporation. He's not interested in being second in command in your army. He wants to be king on the throne of your life. Do you put him at that spot in your life? What's number one? Is he number one? Are you seeking that king? But our, he says here in that same verse there, but seek ye first the kingdom. Now the kingdom of God ought to be the obsession of your life. The word kingdom here, it literally means this rule or reign. A kingdom is a place where a king rules. To seek the kingdom of God is to seek the rule and reign of God over your entire life. Now, when you truly seek a king and you truly seek his kingdom, you're automatically seeking three things. I'm seeking the king. I'm seeking his kingdom there. So first of all, you are seeking for the glory of the king. Now, I want to bring glory to God. I think all of us in here, that's why we're here on a Sunday night. We want to bring glory to God. We understand there are Sundays, first part of the week, we're worshiping Him in the morning. This is His day. Here we are, Sunday night, the core of the church. We're worshiping Him. We're singing hymns. We're glorifying His name. We're lifting praises to the Lord. And that should be every single day. When the opportunity arises there, as we awake out of our bed there in the morning, we get down on our knees, we get into the Bible for our devotions there, we want to bring glory to Him. As we go to the workplace, as we go to Walmart, as we go to the gas station there, as we go wherever we're at, I want to bring glory to Him. I want to lift up His name, every part and parcel of your life, every minute, every moment of your time, every ounce and pound of your strength, every muscle and fiber of your body ought to be given for the glory of God. Here's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. So I'm seeking the kingdom there. The kingdom, I want to bring glory. We say it this way, your testimony. How's your testimony for God? Do people know that you're a Christian? Do people know that you go to Faith Baptist Church? Are you ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or do you bring glory to Him? I want to bring glory to the Lord. But it also means here to seek not only for the glory of the King, but seek for the guidance of the King. See, a loyal subject always wants to do whatever the King would have him to do. See, the King's in charge. And I'm his servant. There's no higher calling than in your life than for you to find out what the King wants you to do. Well, what's the King want you to do? If salvation was it, then why didn't the Lord just, all right, you got saved, boom, you're dead, go up to heaven. But there's more to the Christian life than just salvation. We can read in the scriptures that there's more to life than just self. Man, there's this life is full of all kinds of things that we can do to serve and to glorify the Lord. Here I am, Lord, reporting for duty. What would you have me to do today? Paul said it this way on the road to Damascus when he found the Lord. Lord, what would you have me to do? What must I do, Lord? What do you want me to do? It also means, as we're seeking the kingdom, it also means to seek the government of the king. What is the government of the king? Now, a loyal subject desires to be controlled by the king, to be governed by the king, to be ruled by the king. If the king is ruling you, it almost sounds kind of like, slavery, doesn't it? But may I tell you this, that the greatest liberty in the world is found in being controlled by the right master. Yes, sir. Think about this. Sin, what does it do? Controls you. That bottle, alcohol, controls you. Those pills control you. Those drugs, that pornography, that hurt, that attitude there, the gossip, whatever it may be, it controls the bitterness. It controls you. You know where there's liberty at? When you say, my life's not my own. Lord, here it is. Take control over my life. I want to do your will. I want to seek first the kingdom. Here's an interesting thought. Has it ever occurred to you that if your will was that God's will would always be done in your life, then your will would always be done? Sometimes you got to play tricks on your mind. Okay, all right. I want to do it my way because that's the natural thing to do. You know, I don't want to listen to pastor. He doesn't know what he's talking about. I don't want to listen to this guy. I want to do it my own way. You play a trick on your mind and say, all right, do what God wants you to do. Do His will. And you'll think, oh man, you'll end up doing your will because you're doing His will. I want to please my Heavenly Father. Are your priorities right? Who's first in your life? Set proper priorities. Number two here, seek personal purity. Look what he says here. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. It doesn't say Brian Peace's righteousness. It doesn't say Paul Green's righteousness. It doesn't say the Independent Fundamental Baptist Church's righteousness. It says His righteousness. Not only are we to seek His kingdom, we are to seek His righteousness. That is, not only are we to be seeking God's control over us, but we are also to be seeking God's character within us. The kingdom of God is not only to be inwardly experienced, it is to be outwardly expressed. You see, if God is ruling over you, then His righteousness will be within you, because a man's character is simply the outward expression of whatever is controlling him inwardly. Faith is always seen by fruit. Character is always seen by conduct. Now, we're never going to make a difference in the world until the world sees something different in us. Does the world see something different in you? I mean, by what you talk about, the clothes that you wear, the way that you present yourself, the joy of the Lord that's upon your face. I've been out and about before and someone just said, hey, are you a Christian? I said, yeah, I am. I know the Lord is my... Well, something different about... I could tell on your face, your countenance there. How is that? There's the joy of the Lord. Nietzsche, the German philosopher there behind... he's really the founder of the Nazi movement. He was the first man in history to come to the conclusion... You can find this in history books. He wrote this, that God is dead. He came to the conclusion by looking at Christianity. You know what he said? He wrote this. He said, if you want me to believe in your Redeemer, you're going to have to look a little more redeemed. Founder of the Nazi movement, Adolf Hitler, who killed all millions of Jews there. We went to war against... Got to look a little bit more redeemed. The real mark of a Christian is that he makes it easier for others to believe in God. Now, what does it mean to seek personal purity, seek the righteousness of God? We see here, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Well, what we have to do is we have to desire it. Do you desire to be pure? Or do you desire to be just like everybody else? Desire to be just like the world. Desire to do just like the devil wants you to do. I thought about this, that in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul said that before we were saved, we were at enmity with God. That word enmity, if you study it out, it means you enemy. So who's the enemy of God? Satan. So before you were saved, you were on Satan's team. And now that you're born again, you're on God's team. So now that I'm on God's team, I have a desire to please Him. I have a desire to serve Him. Jesus said it this way in the beginning of his Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. He said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Do you have a desire to do right? Do you have a desire to live right? Do you hunger and thirst after pleasing God? Do you have a desire there to be pure? Do you have a desire to be holy? Not only should we desire it, but we should also, we must derive it, okay? We're to seek His righteousness. God's not interested in your righteousness. He's only interested in His righteousness. Where it comes from is God. Where do we get this from? The Lord Jesus Christ. What happened there at salvation? Well, the Bible says that all things had passed away. Behold, all things have become new. What happened when we got saved? It's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit there. It wasn't the physical baptism in the baptistry there. It was the baptism there where we accept the death, burial, and resurrection. Our sins were buried with the Lord Jesus Christ. He conquered our sin. He conquered death. And He lives today. We have Him living inside of us. We call it the Holy Spirit there. And we can be as holy as we want to be. We can be as worldly as we want to be. Do you desire it? It derives from Jesus Christ. But we must depict it. We ought to live like kingdom subjects. Will Rogers said it this way. We ought to live in such a way that we would not be ashamed to sell the family parrot to the town gossip. We ought to live in a certain way that, man, happens at home is the same. What happens at the workplace, what happens at church, what happens at home, it's all the same. You know, are you right with God? I want to depict Jesus Christ with my lips, with my life, with my love for others. It's seeking personal purity. Now, I'm not preaching a health and wealth type of religion here, but the Lord Jesus Christ, if you read the Bible, if you actually look at it, Pastor Ouellette said it this way when I was in his church, you never receive a blessing until you first obey the commandment. If you study the Bible and you read there in the Bible, over and over in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, you receive a blessing when you obey the Word of God. No rebel ever received a blessing there. Now we look at the world, you could read through Psalms how, the Psalm of Asaph there in Psalm 72, how he was so hurt, how he was so discouraged when he looked at the prosperity of the wicked there. And it kind of looks like the wicked are getting away with it and they're doing their own thing, but the world, they're getting away with it, but their joy is here on this earth. Our joy is up in heaven there. That's where our blessings are getting laid up on. But you can read in the scriptures there over and over, when you do what's right, there's blessings. When you follow the Word of God. You see here, we see a promised prosperity. All these things, that's what it says, verse 33. All these things shall be added unto you. What are the things that are going to be added? We could all think of something that we would want added unto yourself. Well, if you take the time to read through this passage, which we already did, we read verses 19 through 34, it gives us some of these things in these verses. You ever worried about finances, anybody in here? How am I going to pay this bill? How am I going to get through the Christmas season? How is this going to happen? How am I going to get this taken care of? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ said in verse 19, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal." We're told not to worry about our finances. In verse 25, He tells us that we're not to worry about food. You ever worry about how you're going to get food on the table to feed your kids? Feed your family? He says not to worry about it. We're told here in verse 27, we're not to worry about our fitness. When I was a kid, I wanted to be 6'6" and play basketball and dunk, okay? I stopped growing at age 13. I've been the same height, 5'11 and a half. When I'm wearing my high heels, I'm 6 foot, okay? But I wanted to be taller. I can't worry about it. This is the height that God made me. He tells us in verse 27 there, not to worry about our fitness there. In verse 28, we're told not to worry about our fashion, the clothes, because he says, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. In verse 34, we're told not to worry about the future. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. Now all these things, and according to verse 32, it says this, all these things the Gentiles seek. You could put Gentiles, you could put the world. This is what the world seeks after. Fortune, wealth, you know, all these things. They're worried, and they work 1,000 hours just so they can get this new boat or this new thing and all this. And they do this, and they're worried about this and that and that and that. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The Lord has promised that if you will seek first His kingdom, His righteousness, you'll be taken care of. I didn't say you'd have necessarily the things that you want. But I'm convinced there are four lessons that we can learn and relearn about things that we want. Listen to this, okay? You don't need everything that you want. I wish I had all the money back that I had spent in my life on things that I thought I wanted, but I didn't really need. My mom passed away when I was 10 years old, leukemia, cancer, and she had a small little life insurance policy, and each one of us kids got $1,000. Now at age 10, $1,000 is a lot. At age 32, $1,000 is a lot. Okay? Okay, all of us, we could think of a lot of different things that we could do with $1,000. Ask me where that money is now. I don't know. It's not with me. And I know one thing I bought, and I wish I wouldn't have. I bought a paintball gun with it. And back then, in the early 90s, paintball guns were expensive. And I spent like $400 on a pump paintball gun. Probably you could buy it at Walmart now for $30, okay? But, you know, I didn't. You don't need everything that you necessarily want. Consider the Lord. Trust in Him. Number two, you don't want everything that you need. I never wanted a spanking. I love spankings. Did anybody say that? No one would say that. But I needed them. And if you ask my brothers and sisters, they would say I need even more. I'm the youngest of five, okay? They say I got away with things. I got spankings, man. I can still feel them, okay? But I needed them, and I know I needed probably more, okay? I never wanted my cooked carrots, but I know I needed them. I know they're good for me, okay? You don't want everything that you need. Another one, God doesn't give us everything that we want. I'm glad for that. You know, one of the greatest blessings of God is found in those things that He doesn't give us. Heard an interesting poem, a confession by an unknown Confederate soldier. It goes like this. I asked for God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn to be humble and obey. I asked God for health that I might do greater things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked God for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing that I asked for, but everything I had hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I am among all men most richly blessed. God doesn't give us everything that we want. The last lesson is this. God always gives us what we need, though. I'm thankful for that. The Lord, the Bible says He's never seen the righteous forsaken nor His seed begging for bread. God takes care of us. I think in my life, I don't think I have ever missed a meal unless I did it on purpose, whether it be fasting or doing some kind of diet. The Lord's taken care of me. I still have a lot of life to go. And the Lord He's promised that He'd take care of us. I heard about two stores that were across the street from each other, highly competitive grocery stores. The manager of the one store came out one day and nailed a sign that said this, "If you want it, we have it." Well, the other manager across the way thought, thought for a few minutes and went back into his store and made a sign and came out and nailed it to the side of his building. If we don't have it, you don't need it. I can tell you something right now, no matter what you may think, if you don't have it, it's because God knows at this point in your life, you don't need it. You see, what the Lord was trying to teach us here in this very passage is, it's our job to serve God. It is His job to supply us. It's our job just to serve Him. Reporting for duty, Lord. Here I am. I want to serve You. I want to seek You first. I want to seek Your kingdom, Your righteousness. You know what? People today in 2015, coming up to 2016, we have it backwards. People today say that it's our job to supply us. I'll go get another job. I'll go max out my credit card. You know what? It's Your job, God. It's Your job to serve me. If they would sing that old hymn of the faith, they would probably sing it this way. I'll have mine own way, Lord. I'll have mine own way. I'll be the potter. You be the clay. I'll mold You and make You after my will. While You are waiting, yielded and still. Now think about that. We think that's kind of funny, but we think about today in our society. What is churches today making God? Well, I want to make Him my way. I want to worship God my way. I want to change the Bible to say this way. And we see confusion among the versions out there. We see all confusion. Who's the author of confusion? The devil. We see all these things there. If we would only say, Lord, I'll have it Your way. If we do it our way, it's exactly the attitude that cuts off the blessings of God. You see, in a real sense, we have been called to live from hand to mouth, but that's all right if it's His hand and His mouth. I want to please my heavenly Father. I want to seek Him first. Heard a story about a missionary back in the early 1900s. He was going off to serve in the far regions of Africa, and back then they had to take a ship to go over there, and he had a rich friend there that was going to say goodbye to him, and as he was going on the gangplank there, his friend gave him an envelope there, and he says, if you're ever in a tough jam, you exhausted all your resources, you have nowhere to turn, open this envelope. This will be a help to you. 20 years down the road, the man comes back. His same friend, businessman, was standing there at the bottom of the gangplank, and he returned that unopened envelope that was still sealed, and he said this to the man, never did I come to a place where I did not know where to turn nor what to do. What did he do in his time over there, being a missionary there in a far region? He turned to God every single time. So we could go and turn to so-and-so or turn to Oprah or Dr. Laura or this person or that person, okay? But the answer is this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It's proper priorities. It's personal purity. And then there's promised prosperity. Coming into the Christmas season, seek Him first. Coming into a new year, seek Him first. Young person, teenager, adult, seek Christ first. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You for this opportunity to preach Your word. Lord, I want to put You first in everything that I do, everything that I say. Lord, You've taught me so much in my Christian life, and I want to learn so much more. Lord, I pray for these folks here that maybe they haven't been doing it. Maybe they are doing it every single day, seeking to please the King and the kingdom, setting that priority straight, not trying to be righteous in their own eyes, not trying to do what so-and-so says, but be righteous in Your eyes, trying to please You. Lord, I pray that You'd bless this invitation time. Pray that You'd help these folks. In Jesus' name, amen.